after declaring that its welfare system was collapsing under the strain of up to 200,000 refugees. Sweden today became the latest European country to impose border controls. The nation has accepted more refugees per capita than any other country on the continent. But its appeals to other European nations to share the burden have been largely ignored. Special correspondent Malcolm Brabant reports.
Lunchtime today at Hulia, the first station in Sweden, across the bridge from Denmark, and police begin border controls over concerns that the huge refugee influx is endangering law and order and the country's internal security.
You don't have any ID?
No ID.
Everybody? Can you come outside with us?
Outside.
Sweden's increased security has put another nail in the coffin of the Schengen system, which is supposed to guarantee complete freedom of movement within most of the EU, although police spokeswoman Eva Westford played down the significance.
We are rather a little bit nervous and a little bit, how should we do this? Is it all right? And we think, yes, because Sweden would like to have a human police. So we are not going into the trains and blah, blah, blah. We are going into the trains and say hello and be very polite. We are looking for people who will come to Sweden and look for asylum. We are looking for people who have ID cards and they should be allowed to come here.
Who wants to seek asylum in Sweden?
These people, escorted off the train, were being helped to seek asylum, even though many of them didn't seem to understand the word.
This is only supposed to be a temporary measure lasting no more than 10 days, but the government does have the ability to be able to extend it if it wants. It's bound to cause panic amongst refugees along the trail stretching back to Turkey. And the question they'll be asking is this the start of the domino effect? Are other countries along the line now also going to institute border controls?
In Malmö, Sweden's most ethnically diverse city, the new controls have been welcomed by retired police chief Torsten Ellefsen, formerly in charge of criminal intelligence.
We don't have the capacity to take in that many people that we are at the moment. The public service is overloaded. You have the social workers that are down on their knees. You have the education system that is challenged. You have the job opportunities that are very low. Right now, we don't know actually who is coming into the country. They just vanish, disappear. We don't have any control over the situation in that sense. What will happen to those people that are living here illegally? They have to support themselves one way or the other. The fear is that you will have more criminality, more social disorder.
Refugees expecting to start their new lives in a bustling Swedish metropolis face disappointment. For thousands, their first homes will be tents like these, deep in the countryside of one of the coldest countries on earth. And the Swedes have delayed erecting heated and insulated tents because of planning permission concerns. In the past year, anti-immigrant extremists have set fire to more than 20 places across Sweden that either housed refugees or were intended as temporary shelters. The country's migration board is now refusing to say where it will accommodate newcomers because of the fear of arson. Despite ministers saying that Sweden is on the verge of collapse, Hillevi Larsson, who represents Malmö in Parliament, remains upbeat about her nation's generosity towards refugees.
I'm absolutely convinced that we can do it because we have the experiences from the 90s when we took many refugees in a short time. So we've learned from that. And now we have very many old people. Somebody has to support them. And now we have many refugees coming who are young, well-educated people. So I think they could really benefit the Swedish economy.
Don't you think Sweden and Germany have really made a huge mistake in opening the doors wide open, because you've sent a signal to every person who's disenfranchised around the world that Europe is wide open, and it's showing that it can't cope.
No, I think it's on the opposite. I think that will send a message to the other countries that they also have to take the responsibility.
Another station, another country, more refugees and migrants. This is Rostock in northern Germany, the end of the line on the Baltic Sea coast, a port city with ferry links to Sweden. Actor Tobias Hammann is one of dozens of volunteers helping to speed the passengers on their way north.
many of them want to hurry, and they are afraid that they will close the doors totally to Sweden. They all want to be very quick, and they sometimes they are a little bit afraid that they won't make it in time because there are not too many places on the ferries.
Fighting between the Taliban and the National Army in the Afghan city of Kunduz has driven this family of seven to seek refuge in Scandinavia. The family spokesman is 17-year-old Kays Amakhtiar.
We want to go to Sweden because I feel there. I feel good there, and our brother and family is also there.
This was one of the last ferries to leave Rostock before the Swedish government tightened its borders. The Swedes have told refugees that they should consider staying in Germany or elsewhere because they can't be guaranteed accommodation, but the message has not filtered down the line. Keeping a keen watch on Sweden's crisis is Marcus Knuth, the integration spokesman for the centre-right Danish government, which has slashed welfare benefits and tightened the rules governing family reunification in order to make the country less attractive to refugees.
Sweden is going to be asking other nations to take its migrants. Mm-hmm. Will you take them?
No, because we think Sweden has basically put itself in the situation that they're in. I think it's a bit ironic that first they say to the world's refugees, come here, and then when they receive close to 200,000, their system collapses, and then they say, well, we don't want them anyway, now other European countries need to take them. We've taken our fair share of the burden, and we will continue to do so, but Sweden has put itself in the situation that they're in.
Politicians from the Danish People's Party, like Søren Espersen, determine whether the minority government in Copenhagen survives or falls. Espersen and his party are angry that the Danish Prime Minister has so far ruled out introducing border controls as well.
I believe that Europe is in total chaos. Germany, Sweden, the two countries that's mainly caused this problem, and now Sweden, of course, introducing border control. It will mean that we have to do the same, but unfortunately our Prime Minister behaves like an ostrich, like so many other political leaders in Europe do at the moment.
Back in Rostock, there's acute awareness that Sweden's new measures could lead to more refugees requiring shelter on the city's dime. But Mayor Roland Methling is a staunch advocate of Germany's open-door policy to migrants.
Yes, it would be a German problem. That would be a European problem if Sweden would close their own borders. I'm sure we can solve this problem, not only in Rostock, but we have to solve it in Germany. But at least we can solve this problem only if we could find a common way in Europe. And at least we have to find a common way, not only in Europe, we have to find the common way with the United States, with Russia, with China. And only in this combination we could build up a future to every people of this world. Everybody has a right to live in a human world.
This new video from the anti-immigrant Sweden Democrats opposition party shows their members on the refugee trail urging would-be asylum seekers to stay away. But these images from Hulia station send a more powerful message. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Malcolm Brabant in Sweden.